I'd like to direct our attention to the Gospel of John, the first chapter. We'd like to read verses 1 and 2, and this will be our thought for discussion this morning. And this, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Now, there are people who have, I believe, in some cases, oversimplified these couple of verses that John begins his Gospel with. And then I think that there are those people who have complicated the verses that John uses here to start off his gospel. Today we'd like to look at, as we come to know and to understand, that Jesus Christ indeed is the Word, but why is He the Word? Why is He called the Word itself? And I believe that there are two things that Jesus is that qualifies Him to be known as the Word. John's gospel was to promote the deity of Jesus Christ, to show us that indeed He had two natures. One, that He came to this earth as man, but as well, that He is God. In these passages of Scripture, John uses the terminology, as he writes in his gospel and also in his epistle, the only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son of God is a term that I believe is used five times to describe Jesus Christ. And he talks about Him as being deity. So in the opening of this gospel, John brings forth a powerful message. He brings forth the message about Jesus Christ and that He is the Word. So this morning we'd like to talk on that, but before we do, we have an opportunity to pray. So please humble yourselves as the one directed leads us in that prayer. John begins his gospel with this message, "In the beginning." Where is he referring to? Well, I think if we look through the Scriptures, we can find exactly what he is speaking of. He's speaking of something that we know of as the beginning. You and I look at life many times on a very literal basis. We are born, we live, we die. But God is not like that. God is eternal. He ever was, He ever will be, He always has been. And so we aren't able in our human form or in our life today perhaps to totally fathom that, to be able to totally to grasp that or to understand that. But we realize that through the Scripture and what we are taught that we live in the hope of a resurrection that will grant us the ability to have eternal life with God. John talks about a time that was in the beginning as we know it, something that occurred that we all can relate to, and that, of course, is the creation of all the things that we see and that we know. We find in Genesis 1 and 1 where the Bible itself starts off with, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." As all things as we come to know it, as this universe as we see that is made, as this earth that we walk upon is here, God created and made this. This is the beginning for us. And that's what he is referring to here when he talks in the gospel, "In the beginning." And he says that at that point in the beginning was the Word. Well, there's no doubt that when he talks about what the Word is, as we're going to find out, that the Word indeed is Jesus Christ. That's no secret, and that's easy to understand. And he's telling us that back here at the beginning of the creation, Jesus is there. Well, what is he doing when he tells us that? He's telling us that because he is showing to us the deity of Jesus Christ, that he was with the Father before the foundation of this world was ever laid. Everything else was created. The angels are created. The universe is created. All the things that we know are created. Man are created. But not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is born of God, not created of God, not made of God, born of God. And that's what he says when he is the only begotten Son of God. In John 17, 4 through 5, Jesus said, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." So before the beginning, as we know what the beginning is of this creation, Jesus is with God. Now, there's many people who's tried to explain this away and tried to go in different avenues about this. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is God. Now, when we say Jesus is God, we're talking about a family. When you look at the word God in the New Testament, we're talking about a family. Just like you'd be talking about a family of Jones or a family of Smiths. In the family of God, as we see in the Bible, there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, we see that when it says here, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that word comes from the God is translated from a word Elohim, which means in plurality. Not in a singular sense, but in a plural sense. So Jesus is with God before the world was ever made. John's point here is to teach to us and to the people that he's writing to that Jesus is deity. And they need to understand that. We all need to understand that. As he goes on to say, as he read in John 17, that Jesus said that he had glory with God before the world even was. We go on down to the 24th verse of the 17th chapter of John. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that there they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Before the world ever was, Jesus is with God. So we have God, the family. We have the Father, the one that Jesus says that we are to pray to, our Father, which art in heaven. We have God, Jesus, the Son. And then we have, of course, God, the Holy Spirit. And these make up the family of God, as we're going to find in just a minute as we'll read some more scripture. In John 1, the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, John writes this. Now he begins his epistle much in the same way that he began his gospel. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now the word manifest means revealed. So he's saying that the light that he's talking about, and we obviously know he's talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is telling us that he was with the Father, and then was revealed unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So here John again puts Jesus in the position of deity to let us know how important He is. In the same manner that God asked Abraham to take his only son and to sacrifice him, and that was a forerunner, a figure of what God was going to do. He's going to take his only son, and he's going to give him for us who didn't deserve it. There's been books written that call it the greatest story ever told, and indeed it is. Loving God, who loved us so much, cared for us so much, wanted us to be back in fellowship with Him so much that He would give His only begotten Son, that we would have that opportunity. So when He talks about being in the beginning, He is talking about the time of the creation of the earth. Now notice over in the book of Revelations, and in Revelations the first chapter, these words that Jesus speaks over there about who He is as well. He says there in Revelations 1, the 8th verse, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. That's not in your notes. You may want to write it down. But Revelations 1 and 8, Jesus said there, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. So if you have a beginning, Jesus is pointing to us, there's also going to be an ending. But since God doesn't end, obviously the beginning and the ending He's talking about is the structure of the world as we know it. Peter even puts it this way, that the heavens and earth will melt away with a fervent heat, and there will be new heavens, and there will be a new earth. This, as we come to know, is known as the Godhead. As we read over in the book of Colossians, if you'll turn with me over there, The Apostle Paul says in Colossians 2 and 9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Here in Jesus Christ dwells the Godhead fully. You can experience God. You can see God in what you read about Jesus Christ. Remember the apostles, they wanted Jesus to show them God the Father. He says, "Have I been with you so long? Do you not know that if you've seen me, you have seen the Father?" The express image is how he is related in the book of Hebrews, that he is the express image. Now that means taking a stamp and you make something, an image, a seal, or whatever it may be, and when you duplicate it, it looks identical to the first. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the express image of God. In Matthew 28 and 19, what did Jesus tell the apostles to do? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Here in this Godhead, you're to baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We read in Matthew 3, 16 and 17, where Jesus went down to the River Jordan to be baptized of John the Baptist. And he says in Matthew 3, 16 and 17, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What do we see in this picture? What has been given to us? Well, first of all, we have the Son, Jesus Christ. What's he doing? He's being baptized. He's being obedient to the will of the Father. Because he goes down to John and he says, "John, I need you to baptize me. You're the forerunner. You're here preparing everybody for my coming, and I need you to baptize me like you are everybody else." John's like, "Whoa, whoa, I need you to baptize me." And Jesus says, "No, we got to suffer it to be so. I have to be obedient to the Father, to what his command is." So they went down into the water and he baptized Jesus. Jesus came up out of the water. What do we see? We see the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then what do we see? We see the Father speaking from heaven. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And there you have the Godhead that's spoken of in Colossians 2 and 9, and those that we are to be baptized into that family in Matthew 28 and 19. In Genesis 1 and 1, we see as well the Godhead there. In Genesis 1, 1 through 3, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light." So there in the very beginning you have God, as we already said, is a word that can be used in a plurality sense, created the heaven and the earth. The earth, it was without form and it was void. What moved upon the face of the water? The Spirit of God. What did God speak? God said, "Let there be light." And light was made. If we go back over to the book of John and we read just a few verses there, again, this won't be in your notes there, but let's continue on in John, the first chapter, where we'll read just a few extra verses, what John has to say. Beginning in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Word. And who is the Word? Jesus Christ. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Jesus said He is the light that has come into the world. The light that He brought to man is the Word of God, the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God, that man may come out of his darkness of sin, and he can be saved in the grace of God. So this Word that came is the same one that John says here in the third verse that made all things. And without Him there was not anything made that was made. So there in the beginning you do see the three of the Godhead in work as well. In 1 John 5 and 7, John says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Now, when he says they are one, it means that they agree in all ways in one. All three of them work together in the plan of salvation that God came up with to rescue man if he fell. back in the very beginning, you don't think that God created the heavens and the earth without a plan. According to what we're told in the Ephesian letter, that the mystery that existed in Jesus Christ is that very plan. That plan that God knew that as He created a creature that had a free will, that did not live in His presence, that if this man sinned, there had to be a way to save him. And so that plan was made. And that plan was Jesus Christ. And it was already in place and already in effect. And that's what he refers to. So we have the Godhead. We have Jesus who is there in the beginning, in the creation, creating all things because nothing was made that was not made by him. And the Bible even says in the Colossian letter, for him. In John 1 and 14, John explains to us who the Word is that he is referring to in the first verse. When he said, in the beginning was the Word, he says in John 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, who is the Word that John talks about? In the beginning was the Word. That Word, we know, is Jesus Christ. Because he tells us there that the Word was what? Made flesh. He became man. And we could see that Word, touch that Word, John said. We even beheld His glory, John said. Now he's talking there where they went up into Mount Transfiguration and Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. They saw Him in His glory. He was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. So there are two things that we talked about that make Jesus the Word. Now, obviously, one of them is He brought the Word, right? He's the messenger. He's the one that brings to us the Word of God. He's the messenger. I probably have that spelled wrong, don't I? Let's just say He's the... He brought the Word of God to us. He gave to us that God wanted man to know about. So in that case, He is the deliverer of the message. He brought to you and I a message. He gives to you and I a Word. And we understand that. In John 12, verses 44 through 50, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So Jesus came to bring the Word. That was His mission. Here is an almighty God. Here is the Father in heaven. Here is the one who is holy, divine, righteous, far above all man and sinful man. But He wants to save man because man has fallen from the image that he was created in. He wants to restore him back to that image. And the only way to do it is with the plan that He gave that His Son, Jesus Christ, would come to this earth and die for the sins of man. But He had to get the message to man. He had to get the Word to man of what God's plan was. And so the embodiment of Jesus Christ, Him being the express image of God, came to this earth, manifested in the form of man, and brought to us God's message. He gives us that message. He tells us what it is. He tells us how to be saved. We can go over to Matthew 7 and 24, where Jesus say there, that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Listen to what I got to say, Jesus says. You'll be a wise man if you do those things. Jesus said over in Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He tells man that the formula for salvation is to believe in him and to be baptized. He tells man in Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Telling man that they have to repent from their sins and change their ways. He tells us in Matthew 10:32 that whosoever confesseth him before man, he will also confess before the Father, which is in heaven. So Jesus gives us the plan. He gives us the Word of God. He tells us what God wants us to do. Jesus, as he said here, he says, I'm not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So obviously, when John says that Jesus is the Word, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, he is depicting to us the deity of Christ. He's telling to us that this Word that God had to get to man came through his Son, Jesus Christ. But is that all? There's one other thing that sets Christ totally apart from anyone else who delivered the Word of God. No one else in the Bible is called the Word. Moses gave the Word of God to the people, but he wasn't called the Word. Jonah went and preached to the people in Nineveh, and he told them that they needed to repent or God would destroy that great city. And they repented, but he wasn't called the Word. Isaiah went before the people prophesying, telling them God's message, but he wasn't the Word. Jeremiah went before Israel, telling them the same thing. Ezekiel, Daniel, Malachi, Amos, Joel. Many, many prophets were sent. Many people came and told what God wanted them to do, just like Jesus did. But they weren't called the Word, only Jesus Christ. So there's something else that separated Jesus that made him the Word. Well, let us look at the Scriptures if we can. Hebrews 1:1-3 says, God, who at sundry time in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So Paul, as he begins this great letter to the Hebrews, to those who knew the Old Testament, tells them that in different times and in different ways, God spake to the fathers by the prophets. Messages were delivered. You need to do this in order to stay in the grace of God. You need to repent. You need to change your ways. You need to stop doing this and start doing this. Message after message after message delivered to man by these prophets, by angels, and by different ways. But none of them were called the Word, only Jesus. So what separated Jesus? What makes Jesus the Word? Not just the sense that he brought the Word, but the sense that he is the Word. You say, well, you're playing games with us there, because the Bible says he's the Word. Let's look at it this way. Jesus brought the message. The message is him. That's what makes him the Word. A prophet brought the message to people, but he wasn't the message. Jonah brought the message to Nineveh, but he wasn't the message. Others brought things to the people, to the kings from God that they needed to do, but they weren't the message. Jesus, on the other hand, brought a message, and he is the message. That's what makes him the Word. That's why John says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. So back in the very creation, Jesus was there with God. And the Word was God. In other words, part of the Godhead. So that's what set Jesus aside so that John could write these words saying the Word. He not only preached it, he not only delivered it, he not only explained it, he is it. Without him, you don't have it. If someone came and preached that great story, but the story had never happened, what would you have? Just a story. If someone came and said that God wanted to do this, but it never took place, then you wouldn't have what you have. But not only is the person that's there telling these people what God's plan is, not only is the one there telling the people what God wants the people to do, but he is the plan itself. And that's what makes him the Word. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, as he combats Satan, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Christ brought validity to the written word. He tells him three times in that chapter there, of course, when he's tempted, when he's to cast himself down off the pinnacle, that there'd be angels to pick him up, lest he dash his foot against a stone. He said, again, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then when he is asked to fall down and worship Satan, when Satan shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, I'll give them to you if you'll fall down and worship me, he said, get thee hence, Satan, again it is written, man shall only serve God and him only shall he worship. Now, he brought validity to the fact of those words delivered by God through man, guided by the Holy Spirit, that they're written, they become power. And Timothy, we are told there that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Scripture means written. The apostles who were so afraid of being left alone when Jesus left this earth, Jesus says, I'll not leave you without a comforter. I'll send a comforter. I'll go to the Father. I'll ask the Father to send a comforter. And that comforter was the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all things, Jesus said. You're not going to have to worry about trying to remember everything I've taught you or things that you need to say when you're hauled before magistrates and crowds, because he'll bring it to your memory and you'll be able to speak it. As well, he brought it to their memory that it was able to be written down. So the Word of God that is written to us is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible tells us. In Colossians 3:16, we're told, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Jesus is to dwell in us richly. How? Wisdom, teaching, admonishing, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the word of Christ dwells in us today because we have the written word. Because the Word that was back here in the beginning was made flesh, he brought to us the Word because he is indeed the Word itself, or the message of the Word. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here Paul says that he is crucified with Christ. The world is dead to him. He's alive in Christ. That's how he lives. But it's not I that live, Paul says. It's Christ that lives in me. So much has Christ become part of his life by what Paul knows of Christ that he says he lives in me. And the life that he now lives in the flesh, he lives by the faith of the Son of God. And according to Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we have the Word of God today, whereas we learn and gather our faith, our trust, our conviction. All things come together in the faith after we read the Word of God, and we know the power of the Word of God. In Ephesians 3:17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So how is Christ in our hearts? By faith. How do we get faith? By hearing the Word of God. So this morning I hope we've touched on something that's of interest to you. And I hope perhaps we've clarified some of the Scripture. that in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. The Word was with God, the Father. The Word was God, the Son. The same was in the beginning. When he says the same, he's speaking of Jesus. And when he says that he is the Word, not only is he the message that was brought to us, not only did he deliver the message, but remember, he is the message. In him we can have salvation today. If there be one this morning, won't you come while we stand and sing?